Hello, adventurers. Welcome back to the final episode for this season. Big thanks to our patrons, Derek Kuntz, Ryan Donnelly, Daniel Nichols, Brian Dowling, and Jolene Fresquez, along with many others in our show notes. I wanted to announce that you can now order my first book, Children of the Forge, at read.goodhamproductions.com. This book follows and enhances this story and allows you to discover more of what's actually happening behind the veil. It also starts to show the ties between our world and our sister world in The Chronicles of Eridil by Daniel Nichols. While you're there, take a moment to join the monthly newsletter at goodhamproductions.com. And if you have joined up, stay tuned after the credits for an encrypted clue of what to expect in Season 7. Remember, only members of the newsletter will find out how to decode this message from Una herself, seen into the future. Last episode, we discovered more of Ash De La Rose's dark past and how she is bound to Una. Also, the reason she is obsessed with helping Zoran. Dabria discovered Dekion has gone back to the windmill where it all began so many years ago. But first, we joined three others traveling to confront the undead king as well. A dwarven berserker we have come to love and his two half-sisters, Sophie, the Swordmaster, and her lost sister, Cardolan, the Nightblade. Dawn of Dragons, Season 6, Episode 9, The Windmill's Daughter.
And so that's what I found out.
The two reunited sisters walked side by side in the thick fog of the afternoon forest. The sky beyond the tall aspen and pine trees was overcast and set a hazy gloom over the dirt road as they walked. They were so alike and yet so different, Scottmere thought. One was shrouded in the night, black-haired with shimmering blue lights for eyes. The deadlights, some might say. The blackened chain and plate armor she favored clung to her body and taut papery skin. No matter how she moved, it was clear this was the skin of the dead. The other's hair was the color of the summer sun. Red blood of life flowed beneath her skin. Her chain and plate armor was a deep steel color, oiled and cared for. Both of the warriors carried similar longswords at rest, strapped to their back instead of the usual side they would draw from in battle. They were traveling with a tense but not uncomfortable peace between them. Scottmere plodded a few paces back, allowing the siblings to talk.
Half-dwarves. Makes sense why we are so stubborn.
And good looking.
I guess.
I was probably 17, maybe 18 years old when I met Squib. She was powerful, strong, and, I thought, a good ally in a fight. She and about 8 orc warriors had captured 3 bandits outside Sierra. They were getting ready to dispatch justice. Something about them insulting her in the tavern the night before, not knowing who she was. Well, let's just say they were very surprised to find out she was the warrior queen of an orc tribe. Well, one of them was my bounty. Needed the money to send back to you, Sophie.
You left me, Cardolan. I hated you for so long.
I did. I left with him, with Lord Pallas. But that was after he promised to give you that money. He promised me more money too, Sophie. He promised me that you and I could escape our town. And
why? Why would I want to escape? I only wanted to escape you most of the time.
Well, I guess I gave you what you wanted.
I didn't mean that. I really missed you.
And I you. If you snore a bit.
Yeah, she does.
Rude.
So, old Angry Pants Palace never brought you the money, I guess.
He never spoke to me. Never!
Figures. He claimed he would leave more with you if I would go with Squib to the Deadlands and help rally troops. I did that, and I was such a fool.
What makes you say that?
I never saw through it. But what you just said makes so much sense. He told me that raiders from what was left of the Knights of the Glen had destroyed our hometown. That they set fire to everything and killed you, my baby sister. I believed it. I mean, where had the Knights been? They never cared about how poor we were. We were just children. Just children, Sophie. I was barely 10 when Father died. Killed by him. My savior.
So, you believe me?
The two sisters looked at each other and the heavy mist that trailed with them as they left the tall trees and continued westward towards the coast. Sophie noticed that, to the north, a few miles past the heavy dark chain of Cardlan's armor, she could make out the familiar pairing of hills leading to what was left of their hometown.
Look, Alanot Khan.
Yes. Yes, it is. I believe you, Sophie. It makes too much sense not to. I want nothing more than to take vengeance on what he did to us, separating us. First,
Dekion.
Yes. We must stop Dekion.
Bolts of purple lightning ripped into the old man's body as he dropped to his knees. Dekion's face curled back in a cruel sneer as a man covered in boils grabbed the girl by the upper arm and roughly yanked her away.
Papa!
Shut up, child.
Papa, no!
The figures in her memory disappeared, leaving only the cliffside overlooking the surf below. Empty.
Debra.
Her heart ached at the memory, only to be replaced by another one. A knife of regret and loss twisting in her chest as she turned.
Cardlan.
Am I still your sunbeam?
Taking a few shaky steps, she threw her arms around her.
Always. Ever since you pulled me out of that oubliette so long ago in Enruk. And now, you are here with me now.
We are here with you now.
Sophie? Scottmere?
We won't let you be alone.
Dabria pulled back and smiled. Wiping a tear from her golden eyes, she bit her lower lip gently. She was fearless, but this was different. She was facing her past, a monster that had destroyed her very soul to the point that she had forgotten about it. A wound that she hadn't and couldn't face in so long she'd forgotten who she had been before that. She turned back to Cardlan and placed her hand on her cheek. She sobbed softly, as she wanted so badly to feel the warmth of her cheek in the palm of her hand.
But I need to walk this alone.
You never have to walk alone. We are your friends, and we will stand by you as you face this.
We are more than that. We are your family.
Yeah. Hey, scoot over. Let me get in on that hug.
Together, my children. I see you've found some prisoners. Good, good. Come, witness my greatest moment. Stand by me as I end death for you. for all of you. And welcome a new age.
The voice came from behind a dead tree in the forgotten field that once grew grain. Grain that Zane remembered in the sacks of flour back home. A tall, gaunt man stepped out from the formless shadows, his eyes sunken in his head, drawn away from his papery skin. The hood of his black robes coiled behind him like a snake, and his lip curled back in a familiar, broken smile. A cruel smile.
No, Daddy. We've come here to end this. To end the cycle with you. Together.
Really?
Dekeon cackled madly as his form expanded outward and upward, a giant wraith that matched the ancient creaking windmill behind him. The sky began to darken as its blanket of clouds rippled in the sky. A storm was brewing. The form seemed to fade from where his waist would have been, as though projected from somewhere. Now appearing as a floating image in the slow rain that began to fall. Reaching down into the emptiness, he pulled up an old man, a familiar old man with icy blue eyes.
Please. Please, you know who you are. My daughter.
Oh, and what is she? What could she be? Oh, first, my old friend. We should start where we left off so long ago.
The spirit faded into a beam of mist. Two figures now stood at the same place, returned to a normal size. Dekeon stood glowering over the weakened old man at the edge of the cliffside, throttling him with a singular hand. He threatened to cast him over the side, plunging to the crashing surf and blackened rocks far below.
Say it.
Never, my dark shadow. I will never...
Say it! I have you now, worm! I, the more powerful one, am I not? Say it!
I love you.
The old man turned his weakened face away from Dekeon and smiled at the companions. Dekeon grew confused, not understanding who this ancient adversary was looking at.
Love! Love! Lord of Death, who loves! Tell me, who would love you? Tabia, the mistress of pain! Absurd! Look at her! Cold and incapable of love. Perfect. Or maybe Nightblade. The woman who has slaughtered so many in my name. Oh! I know. You mean Uma. She who helped me see the future. They aren't yours, ferryman. Look at them. Who could love any of you? After all of the things you've done, what do you know of love?
Oh, Dekeon, that's easy. My gift. I love my gift. Dabria, remember who you are.
Memories rocketed into Dabria's mind.
This is my family.
Yeah, it is.
You can't see the truth! We can all be angels if we choose to be.
She's a friend.
Dabria remembered. She remembered not only the kindness her friends had shown her, but deeper memories. Locked away memories that burst through the clouds, like the radiant sunbeam that now illuminated her from a crack in the storm clouds. Thunder rolled, and she saw her sisters silhouetted in the sky, an army of 1,000 wings at the ready.
I know who I am now, Decheon.
She looked in her memory and saw that sword, her ancient friend, as old as time itself. She gripped the hilt and could smell the oiled steel of the holy blade as her hand found its familiar grip.
Yeah!
Flames ignited in her golden eyes as she drew the flaming sword of her memory. She stood majestically against the gray sky, radiant and glowing with a power beyond this world. She was now who she had always been.
There you are, my daughter. You've come home.
The dead and fallow earth from decades of lost seasons gave way to the ancient sightless horde of steel and bone rising from the earth.
Prepare for battle!
So be it. This is nothing new. Is it, Scott?
Hear my call and rule the skies once more!
Azure! What the?
Oh, man. Yeah, I guess nothing new. Let's go.
The sky ripped apart with lightning as a skeletal dragon cut blue-white fire through the far-off clouds, descending to the dead fields. Fields where hundreds of undead were rising from tilled graves. Ancient graves.
2, 5, 10.
Duck!
Whoa! Got your leg, skelly boy.
Deftly rolling under the slade, the dwarf lashed out and ripped off a skeletal warrior's leg.
Yeah!
In one swing, he shattered its heel across its own jaw, sending its body sprawling.
Davria, this way!
With you. Yeah! On your left!
Sophie caught sight of the two warriors in their perfect concert of attacks. Orchestrated like dancers on a swift wind, they rolled over each other's backs, swinging blade and limb in precise strikes, like a whirlwind cutting across the plains.
Above you!
Send me up!
Davria stepped into Nightblade's paws before being flung upward, her blade's flames blazing like a torch of pure sunlight.
Azure!
The wind raced by her ears again, a reminder of her flight on the back of Ymir. The feeling of flying and falling was familiar then, but she couldn't place it. Now she smelled the crashing surf, mixed with the misty rain as it struck her wet cheeks. Then she remembered. Battles in clouds and caverns by her sister's side, that flaming sword in her hand. She felt gossamer white and black feathers sprout from her back in powerful wings. Dabria's body ignited in white-hot fire as she passed through Azure's rotting body, leaving a huge hole in his massive chest. He crashed to the ground below, plowing the earth to either side as his body came to a stop. Dabria glided downward, landing to face Dekion and the crumpled form of her father at his feet.
Dekion, today your lies end.
With a storming pace, her wings billowing behind her, her sword raised up in a powerful high guard.
I will end this. What? No!
No!
Chains made of unearthly black smoke erupted from the ground, restraining the companions. The smell of sulfur and burning coal seared their nostrils, but despite all that, they were colder than ice and frozen to the bone.
You fools didn't think it would be that easy, did you? Come now, ferryman. That I would fall because your little angel of death finally remembered who she was. That I would actually care. She's nothing. You are nothing. Oh, Dabria, your new wings really are so useless.
Anchored to the ground, aren't they?
My pets.
No! You...
No! No!
Ash looked around the battlefield at the shambling forms of the undead, glowering as they descended upon the companions. Sophie was prone on the ground, her arms pulled from her legs by the same powerful chains that restrained Scottmere's axe and body to the dead tree. Harlan was kneeling next to Sophie, defending her from the bites of the undead dragon Azure. Una's body was anchored to the ground in oily black tendrils of chain that seemed to change shape like smoke on the wind, but never loosened their grip. Then she remembered something from long ago in the great stone hall of Strath.
Did you really believe that I would share this next era with you, Ash? A means to an end. That end is to power my staff. Nothing more.
Ash remembered the battle with Dekion so long ago, where she tapped into dark fey magic and split her own soul to join with Una's. She knew what she must do.
Una, I could only give you a part of my magic and a sliver of my will, but I knew I needed to save my prince. Please remember me to him.
Ash's misty form stepped out of Una's body to stand next to her.
Goodbye, my little Una. I leave you with what I can. But you... you don't need me anymore.
Turning her head, Una could see the transparent shade of the woman smile gently before facing the battle. Walking forward, she remembers.
Hush, please. Hush. Shh. Please.
Keep that baby quiet, or I will.
It would be the last thing you ever thought of doing, Mortis. Leave, if the child is too powerful for your weak sensibilities. You, go. Hand me the child.
The wide-eyed servant girl trembled as she carefully handed over the swaddled baby boy. She looked down into the eyes of the one thing that would fuel years of purpose, while her soul lay shattered in the mind of a young girl.
I'll always watch over you, my sweet,
sweet prince.
You took me away from him! My Ash, dear Astela Rosa, here. What wonderful timing you have, my old friend. Stand back and witness me fulfill my promise to slay the ferryman and his pathetic angel of death. The death of a god. Poetic.
No!
Ash reached within what was left of her soul and threw it out in a burst of light that slammed into Decheon's dark chains. Wings now free of their mooring, she wasted no time finishing the arc of her sword.
Dabria! She's gone.
Look, over there, Sophie. Come on, Una!
At the edge of the cliff, the old man was leaning on a young girl, no more than 12. A girl with shoulder-length blonde hair and dirty cream dress. She looked at them with her familiar gold eyes and smiled. He smiled too. His powerful blue eyes glowing slightly as he slowly found his feet and stood. Walking forward, Sophie saw him smile while a white robe wrapped around him. His familiar blue eyes shone like lit sapphires from beyond the hood.
Ah, Sophie.
You. You are the one who asked us what path to take. The blue-green or red flame, right?
Yes. Yes, it was I.
I always wondered what would happen if you, us, chose the other flame.
And of course, that is saying, well done, my friend. You kept your promise.
I did? Yeah, of course I did. You know me, all reliable.
Thank you.
My friends, I can't thank you enough. You have returned me to my father. Who needs me?
Is Decheon gone?
Yes, for now at least. My dark twin can never be completely defeated. But we can hope you have bought some time at least to allow you all to prepare for the next step in freeing your world from Lord Palas. We must leave you now, as we do not wish to waste the little time you have.
Is it happening soon?
Yes. It is already in motion, Sophie.
Oh, Una.
The young Dabria looked as she had so many years ago, when they first met, when she became her dark sister.
Use this feather.
The white and black feather reflected the light, showing a scene from the stream in Shikara in the Valley of the Dragon. Dabria smiled at her friend.
It's dragon magic. You can call Kogiris to join you here. Father and I need someone to watch over the farm. So much can grow here and feed the world. Oh, and over there, a small green pokey thing would look lovely.
Of course, dear sister, I would be honored. This is the life of peace I have always wanted.
Good. Thank you, my sister. Father, is it time?
Yes. Goodbye, and thank you again.
As father and daughter walked away in the rose-gold dusk of the setting sun, she reached up to hold his hand. He looked down at her, at his gift. As they reached the cliffside, they continued out into the expanse high above the waves, smiling at each other. Behind them, two women appeared. One wore dark chainmail and plate armor, her long black hair framing a smooth, powerful face that pulled back in a smile at her sister, Sophie. The other had long dark braids under her black cloak, unquestionable magical power behind her smiling eyes. No longer undead, their spirits free. It took a moment to wave before they too faded into the sea breeze above the surf. Una, Sophie, and Scottmir stood in silence until the last light of the sun tucked beneath the waves to the west.
Well, guess we gotta go to the port. Port, what was it?
Lafour. From there we can sail to the new country. Una, so are you excited?
Of course. For what?
Farming, living off the land, sheep in and plenty. Yeehaw!
What?
Farming! Look around!
Nope. Gonna use this to call Kogiris and get us the heck out of here. I'm done and want to go back to the keep as soon as possible.
What?
Yep. Let me just get this set up. Hey, Scottmir, go grab some dry wood. I need 6 of them to make spokes, radiating out this way.
Huh. I mean, I'm glad you're sticking with us and all, but Dabria said...
Dabria was joking. I killed a cactus and my dear dark sister has never let me live it down. I'm gonna miss her, though.
I hear you. I just got my sister back and... Well...
You got me.
Ha! Yes, we do, my friend. Yes, we do.
Well then, what do you need to get this party started? You heard them. We don't have much time.
Epilogue. Along the coast of Viridian, Vash, Vix, and Zorin walked along the forest path. The sounds of exotic birds and other animals could be heard in the trees under the warm midday sun.
Hey guys, look at this up here. Looks like a stone statue? There's a bunch of them.
What in the world? A stone army?
Huh. Nowhere have I seen this before.
Wow, the Temple of Elements. Do I just go in? Whoa!
Startling her, the eyes in the shadows behind her form into a small purple dragon with butterfly wings.
Oh my! Excuse me! Can I help you?
Far into the frozen north, the sound of frantic hooves races through the blanket of snow. Scared to look back, the elk crashes through the low, brittle branches of the pine trees, sending shards into the fresh snow, only to be trampled by the powerful paws of a large grizzly bear. The bear panting as it races after its quarry. Not alone. He runs with 2 wolves. The younger one speeds up and passes his 2 companions, his maw opening to allow the cold air and the smell of the hunt to enter. Under the full moonlight, the wolf's eyes glisten. Behind those eyes, the soul of Benedict Shieldheart watches helplessly, lost in the thrill of his first hunt.
Thank you.
Appearing in this episode, Dadria, the Angel of Death, J.D. Rose. Nightblade, Commander of the Undead Army, Daphne Bickler. Sophie, the Swordmaster, Sarah Jenkins. The Stranger, now known as the Ferryman, Tyler Cauldron. Dekian, the Undead King, Matthew Bianchi. Ash De La Rosa, the Necromancer, Shannon Roby. Azure, the Undead Blue Dragon, Heath Martin. Servant, Krista Coles. Mortis, Priest of Dark Queen, Harlan Guthrie. Skotnir, the Dwarven Berserker, Colton Jansen. Una, the Seer, Becky Atchley. Zane, the Assassin, Storm S. Cone. Cordelia, the Fire Mage. Jolene Fresquez, Young Dabria, Ariana Atchley. Keldor, the Narrator, Mike Atchley. All music in this episode is written and performed by Mike and Becky Atchley and is available wherever you stream your music. Thank you for joining us in this episode of Dice Tower Theater's Dawn of Dragons. Please join us in thanking our magnificent cast by leaving a review on your favorite podcasting platform. We will return to continue the story next year. In the next season, expect to hear about the Battle of the Bronze Outhouse and the return of the Jolly Aardvark. Again, join the newsletter for free at goodhamproductions.com to find out what this truly means. Until then, adventurers, stay safe and remember the oath.
They say it's called the Brass Eagle Tavern. Those few who have visited for themselves describe it as a bit large for a tavern, but otherwise unremarkable. It's a building just like any other, made of timber, stone, glass, and thatch. But of course, there are rumors. They say that the building has a strange magic about it, untethered to any one location. It's a place that moves somewhere new with each fresh dawn. But that would be impossible. And yet, the rumors persist.
Presenting Welcome to the Brass Eagle, a 10-episode fantasy fiction audio drama about a teleporting tavern and the three strangers who come to inhabit it. Narrated by Mike LeBeau, and starring E.R. Hollins, Maddie Albrecht, and Connor Bushoven. Episode 1 is out now, and you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Crowdfunding begins on August 23rd. Visit bit.ly/brasseaglepod to support our campaign and help make the full show a reality.